In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 27. I'm sorry, verse 28. Isaiah says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Key verse. Verse you know. You've heard it before. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." There's a promise in this. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It's already just said that He doesn't get tired. And you can't begin to examine Him for His wisdom. But that if we, as His children, wait on Him. And I look that word up. It's not like standing somewhere leaning up against the wall wondering when He's going to come see you. This wait, this word wait, is to ascend up and to expect. So you see, waiting on God is expecting Him to do something. When we're faced with a problem, there is nothing wrong at all to expect Him to take care of it, because He promises He will. But down there in verse 31, He says, everybody gets tired. The young men get tired. God doesn't get tired, but our young men get tired. But they of us who wait on the Lord won't get tired. When it's time for us to be needed, we'll mount up with wings like eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. It's amazing to me. It's like we've said before, when God wants to make a point, He always makes a point about something in nature. It's what He uses to be an example to us. And y'all, there is nothing any more magnificent than an eagle flying soaring. You know, I haven't been to Auburn when they turn that thing loose, but they say it will absolutely make chill bumps run over you when that eagle circles that field before a game. You know in your own mind how you feel about seeing eagles. There's just something about it. And He uses that to give us an example of what we can be. That when that eagle with that big, big wing spread takes off from that top of that tree or that ledge on a mountain or something and just goes up in the air, that's the way we're going to be. Now, I've never studied much about eagles. I never had any reason to. Anytime, you know, one of those articles come in the paper about this outfit up here who raptors, saves raptors and all like that, I understand they've moved it to Auburn now, and they've got a complete department out there that does that stuff. Never seen it. But I read it whenever I do, and there's some things I've learned about eagles. And then years ago, old brother Lester Roloff out in Texas, the old prophet they called him, had a tape, and when I was teaching God and the Family and needed information about disciplined kids, he had a tape about how to raise children. And he told about how the mama eagle, when she was starting to build a nest, she'd get big sticks and put it in place. And then she would get smaller sticks and put it in place. Then she would get moss and put in there. And then she would use the fur out of animals that she killed and put it in there. And by the time she laid eggs, they said that was the softest place you'd ever seen. But then after she hatched the little eaglets out, as she started leaving, and as they started growing, as she started leaving to bring stuff for them to eat, she would start taking stuff out of the nest. And first off, she'd take that little fur and the little real soft fuzzy stuff. And then she'd, you know, as time went on, she would take them off, and then the little sticks and the twigs and the leaves and all, until there wasn't left nothing left in there but big old sticks. And Brother Roloff is an older man then. I guess he's in his 70s. He lived up into his 80s. And an interesting fact about him, if you've never heard him, he lived down there on a place in South Texas where they took boys that were in trouble. Drug addicts and boys from police departments and whatever like that. And they cleaned them up. And he had the most successful program, results-wise, in the whole United States. But the one thing you had to do was to sign a paper that he could lock your young'un up. He said you couldn't treat people on drugs if you couldn't lock them up. Because as soon as they go to hurting, they were fixing to get out and go get some somewhere. And so the only ones he would take would be those that he could lock up. We had some of his visit our church one time, a couple of times. And those boys would stand up there in front. One of them had a shaved head long before shaved heads were in fashion. And he called him out. He said, "Tell them why you got a shaved head." He said, "I ran." He said, No. "Tell them where they can hear it. Hold your head up." "I ran." He said, "Tell them about it." He said, "I ran, and I was walking down the interstate, and the Texas Highway Patrol picked me up. And they called Brother Lester. And he came out here with two or three of his trustees and said the Highway Patrol knew the procedure. They turned me over to him, and those trustees took me by each arm and stretched me over the trunk of that car. And he put one on me. Put me in the car. When we got back to the home, I had to shave my head to let everybody know that I was a runner." Remind me what you said the other night, Anthony, about the slaves who ran in Rome were branded with the words for the Greek words or Roman words for fugitive. Brother Roloff made that tape. The Department of Human Resources or whatever in Texas were always suing him, because he had what they considered to be a harsh method of dealing with kids in trouble. But like I said, his turnout rate, his result rate, success rate was up in the 90s. And most any drug program is down in the 20s and 30s. But he talked about this mama eagle, and he would mock a 70-year-old, 80-year-old Texas man mocking them little eagles talking, and kind of baby talk, you know. Says, "What in the world is Mama doing? Have you noticed what she's doing? She's pulling all this stuff out of the nest. This place is getting worse and worse all the time." Said, "If it keeps getting like this, we're going to have to leave." And he said, that lesson in nature is kind of how we're supposed to run a house. He said, it's perfectly natural for folks, young folks, when they get grown, to leave. But he talked a lot about how those eagles did that stuff. And he said when it came time for the little eagle to leave his nest. Now listen, y'all. Eagles are known for their flying. If an eagle can't fly, he is the most pitiful thing in the whole world. I've seen these pictures of eagles that had their wings broken and all this kind of stuff, and they're not impressive at all. An eagle, to be impressive, to be even what he's created to be, he's got to fly. And he said they'd be scared to get out of the nest. And he said those mama eagles would pick them up and take them out from their nest up in the mountains or stuff like that and take them way up high and drop them. And they'd be flying before they hit the ground. Why? Because they were born and created to fly. Reminds me of my daddy talking about how granddaddy used to take his kids when they got a certain age down to the creek and throw them in the creek. He said he told us when he threw us he's going to turn around and walk off. I don't really ever think he did, but he says, we learned to swim before we got out there. Well, I knew my granddaddy. He was pretty rough, and I wouldn't put it past him at all. But now listen. They're too afraid to venture out of the nest. You hear that? They got their food brought to them. They're living pretty good. They're safe. They're comfortable. They don't want to leave. Then we talk about man. We were created in the image of God to have dominion over the whole earth. That's what we were created to do. Adam and Eve walked with God and had a relationship with Him every day. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, that as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the children of God. We are equipped with the power, just like those little eagles. We're equipped with the power, once we become saved, to be exactly what God has created us to be. We're given the faith of Jesus Christ, the same faith He was given, we've got. And the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Jesus Himself said, when I leave, I'm leaving you with this Spirit, and you will do greater things than I've done. That's all to remind you of where we're supposed to be. And those little eagles are scared to get out of the nest. And I tell you, I think sometimes most of us are too, as far as spiritually concerned. We don't want to stick our neck out too far. We're afraid it might not work. We were created to mount up with wings like eagles spiritually. But with the fall, when Adam and Eve sinned, we lost our wings. We became like the ostrich and the emu and some of those other birds that can't fly. We just have to walk where we go. But now, with Jesus, we have a chance to get our wings back and fly like we're supposed to fly. We were created to abandon ourselves to God. Just give ourselves over to Him and say, hey, it's just like that mama eagle, to take us up as high as we can and just turn us loose. But if we've got to do that on our own, we'll probably stay in that nest till we die. We are told by God to deny ourselves, to die daily to our own wills, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But really, few do it like Jesus planned for us to do. And God is constantly taking us up high and dropping us to teach us to fly. Now they tell me, I don't know, I guess there's one thing for sure. If he doesn't learn to fly when his mama turns him loose, I've heard that they'll swoop him up again. I don't know whether that's true or not. I guess as good as an eagle can fly, maybe they can do that. I've heard people who are experts with him say that if he doesn't catch on pretty quick, mama can swoop up under him, catch him on her back, and take him up high and roll him off again. But it even says about Jesus that He learned obedience. He learned to be what we were created to be, obedient slaves of Jesus Christ. He learned that by His suffering. It says in Scripture, from glory to glory we're changed. In another place it says we're to glory in tribulation. You put those two Scriptures together, you know what it says? From trouble to trouble, we are made more like Jesus Christ. Somebody says it's not the trials in life that are so tough. It's having the trial and coming through a trial and not learning anything from it. That's the tough place. Something that has encouraged me along is something a guy told me years ago, said no good sailor was ever made on a calm sea. The good sailors are made in the storms. And when we get through a storm, we ought to be a better sailor than we were before the storm started. So our life is about trouble. But God says, if you wait on me, if you expect me, if you look for me, if you rise with me when I rise, you'll fly like an eagle. And you won't get tired. And you won't get weary. And you won't faint. That is a tremendous promise. Now you remember a few years ago, and it just, I mean, this hit me and I thought, you know, I ought not to be saying that as a preacher. But you know what? God gave it to me. He caused me to remember it. And I mean, it fits perfectly. You remember that the bumper stickers that says you can't soar with eagles when you work with turkey? You remember that? You know that's what we're called to do. We're called to fly like an eagle right in the midst of a bunch of turkeys. Now, if you want to focus your attention on all those turkeys around you, first thing you know, you'll be acting like a turkey. But you know what? Amongst those turkeys, we're supposed to fly like an eagle. Now they tell me those little eagles, they've seen their mom and daddy fly. But they're still scared to do it until they're forced to. And essentially that's what God is saying about us. He's putting us in situations that we can't cope with all the time. But He says He won't give us any more than we can bear. And with the temptation, He'll give us a way to get out of it. A way to come to Him and get out of it. So you see, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You remember about Peter in the boat? They left Jesus. They got in the boat and started out across the Sea of Galilee. And a storm came up. I don't think it was a rainstorm because they kept talking about the wind was really bad. And these guys were trying to row across the Sea of Galilee, and the wind was, they were going against the wind, and it was pushing them back. And Jesus went out to help them out. And as He's walking across the water out there, they see Him, and it scares them to death. Tell you what, let's just turn there. Let's just turn there and read it. In chapter 14 of Matthew, there's a lot of encouraging words in this thing. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, in verse 23, Matthew 14, 23, "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain privately to pray, and when the evening would come, He was there alone. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water." Walking on the sea. "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water.' And He said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Isn't that what you said, Miss Joanne? Isn't that what you said? Now here is a man that has been bade by Jesus to walk on the water, and he stepped out of the boat, and he's doing it. And after, I imagine, he took the first few steps, and when he saw he could do it, he got to looking around just to see where he really was. And that wind was bad now. He was afraid. Doesn't say anything about him sinking until he got afraid, right? Before that, he was walking by faith. When he got afraid, he wasn't walking by faith anymore. And when he began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him. Now here he is, right in the middle of the worst storm in the country. He's a sailor. He knows about storms. The Sea of Galilee is his home turf. It's where he's been all along. That's where he's made his living, on the Sea of Galilee. He knows about the reputation for the place, that storms come up in just a moment without any warning whatsoever. And Jesus takes this time with him sinking and begging Lord to save him to give him a Sunday school lesson. O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? How did Jesus know he was doubt? If he couldn't read mine, I can tell you how. Because he was sinking. When you're sinking, you're not living by faith. You're not. And when we catch ourselves seeming like we've just about taken all we can take, and we say to ourselves, I can't take any more. That we remember the scripture that Jesus said, I won't give you more than you can take. If it's still happening, you can take some more. You just didn't know how strong you were. Why didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the boat, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What more would it take to prove to them that he was who he said he was? I said you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't look at the wind and you can't look at the turkeys. It says when God called Jeremiah, he didn't look left or right. It says when God called Paul, he didn't ask flesh and blood. He went into the desert and trained under Jesus himself. Charles Oswald says, if you're going to get close to God, you've got to learn to be lonesome. Because there's more turkeys than there is eagles. There really are. And you've got to be the eagle for all the turkeys around you. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the turkeys. Look at Jesus. When you get afraid, like Peter did, just say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Somebody has said one time, when you get crossways with the Lord and you don't feel like you've got any connection with him whatsoever, he's just as close as forgive me. That's all it takes to get him right back grabbing hold of your hand and pulling you out of your mess, is Lord, forgive me. It's easier to stay in the boat. It's like the eagles. It's a whole lot easier to stay in that nest. Mama's bringing you stuff. It's soft. It's nice. You got company. I've always thought about Peter walking on the water in terms of those guys that stayed in the boat. Now, you know how people are. I wondered if they thought among themselves, look at that smarty out there walking on the water. He's trying to outdo us. He's trying to show us something. And then when he got afraid and started sinking, there he goes again, messing up. Jesus had to pull him out. Well, I'm going to tell you about me. I don't know whether you know me that well or not. I don't know how many times I've been pulled out. I can't operate without being pulled out because I get scared and I get concerned and I get worried. And now that I have the responsibility to try to lead and speak to folks, I'm worried about people that I didn't worry about before. And you have to constantly go to God and say, Lord, help me. I can't do it. I'm not making a very good showing right now. Pull me out. And I'll tell you this, He's never failed to do that. When people relate to you a problem like yours, like the ones you've had, the Bible says our problems are those that are common to man. When somebody shares a problem with you, it's just like those you've had. Names have been changed, but the plot's the same. So when people relate a problem to you, tell them how Jesus took a hold of your hand and pulled you out. Give them that not only for this time they're in a jam, but for the next time they're in a jam. Maybe they can learn something from this time that next time they'll spread their wings and fly without having to be grabbed a hold of and thrown out of the nest. So I ask you again, like I did last week. And y'all, there have been stories come to me this week like you wouldn't believe. You guys, and you have taught me what it's like for a whole group of people to be doing the work of Jesus. You have. You share with me your experiences and the way you talk to people and the way you try to make people understand and the way you share your problems with them and the way God pulled you out. So I ask you, what has Jesus done for you this week? And who have you told about it? That's the way you fly, spiritually. Can you imagine one of those, say there's four or five little eagles in that nest, and the first one they dump out, and he flies, and you know how little eagles are, they're like little kids. They got to fly by that nest and show the rest of them that hadn't flown yet how good they're doing. And they say, well, if brother can do it, we ought to be able to. That's the encouragement that we give each other. That's what Jesus kept telling them. Come to me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So what do? You don't have to quote Scripture. Most of the people who come to you with a problem probably don't know Scripture anyhow. But I tell you what, they can look in your face and tell you're sincere, you're not trying to sell them something, and they can listen to your voice and hear you say, I've been there, and this is what Jesus did for me, and that's what you need right there. You need Jesus. Every day, you need to learn to walk with Him and talk with Him and ask Him and plead to Him for help, because He will help you every time. That's what I can't understand about so many of the teachings today. It's all about doctrine. Learning every little jot and tittle that the Bible says when it's Jesus that always pulls you out when you're in a jam. When you're down and you're distressed and you're uptight and you hurt and you're sad, thou shalt not steal. It's a good thing to know, but it ain't going to pull you out. But Jesus will. Let's pray. Father, teach us. Let us remember this Scripture that You've given us to encourage us. That we can fly like an eagle. We won't get tired. We won't faint. We won't get weak. That when we're waiting on you, expecting things from you, looking to you to show us how to get somebody else out of a jam, looking to you to show us how to get ourselves out of a jam, we understand that that's what Jesus came to do. Lord, we thank you for this promise, and we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.